Good morning, Symphony Church. We are starting a new book today, Paul's letter to the Philippians. We'll be breaking it down into four parts, and today we'll read through chapter 1. So Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus, because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Amen. All right, so as with most of Paul's letters, it does us great good to understand the context and the circumstances in which he's writing these words, as well as who he's writing to. You see, at the time of writing this particular letter, Paul had been imprisoned and is facing potential execution in Rome. During this time, the church in Philippi sends to Paul a brother named Epaphroditus, who we'll hear more about tomorrow in chapter 2, and with him, some gifts from the church to Paul. Paul responds by assuring them that he is hopeful for his release, but regardless of whether he dies or lives, he will honor Christ. He tells the Philippians, "Now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul triumphantly details this win-win situation that he finds himself in. After all, he says, if I do go to Rome and I'm found guilty and sentenced to execution, I will finally come face to face with Christ. I'll be with him forever, and I'll be able to enjoy eternal life. But if I live, then I can continue to do Christ's work and remain with the churches. Whatever lies ahead for Paul, he takes heart in knowing that Christ awaits him. Everything that has happened to him has glorified Christ. Everything that is happening to him now is glorifying Christ. And everything that will happen to him will glorify Christ. And Paul urges the Philippians to live in this way also, to let their manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, standing firm in one spirit and one mind, striving side by side, believing in him, and even suffering for his sake. And for us, we're also called to live with this goal. As partakers in grace, as followers of Jesus, our lives are to be oriented toward glorifying him and doing his good works. More than any other pursuit or endeavor, our desire should be to do his will and proclaim his gospel with everything that we have. And as we answer this call, as we strive toward this goal, we can say, to live is Christ. What does that look like for you? What's one way God is calling you to deny yourself, to pick up your cross, and to follow him today? Let's allow the Holy Spirit to refine us as we seek to follow after the devotion of Paul. And as we do that, I pray that our lives are more and more for Christ each day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this first look into the letter from Paul to the Philippians. We thank you for this picture of a life that is so fully oriented toward you. Lord, we want to be like that too. Help us not to be distracted, to not be self-seeking, or to seek after things that are far less valuable than you are. Lord, I pray that we can position ourselves in a manner that glorifies you in every outcome. Whether we succeed, whether we fail, whether we grow and increase, or whether we decrease, I pray that everything can lead to further glorifying you. I pray that you give us that heart, you give us that mind to lose our own sense of pride or ego, and instead to look to glorify you in everything we do. Continue to mold us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.